By definition, ambassadors are representatives of their sovereign and their nation. We have the privilege to discuss and represent our sovereign, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom for his glory. Join us as we seek him first. Welcome to Ambassador Talks.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ambassador Talks. Ambassador Talks is brought to you by Ambassador Baptist Church of Hudson, North Carolina. For more information about the church, visit ambassadorbaptistchurch.org. I'm your host, Matt Baker, and tonight with me, as always, Nathan Phillips, and across from us, our pastor, Robert Setzer. We're delighted for you to join us again this week. This week, we want to talk about something in the news that has really caught the attention of the evangelical community across America, I believe. And we want to say that we are saddened to hear about the events in Texas with the church shooting, and we stand with them, we pray for them, and we join with many other churches in corporate prayer for them, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's what they are, gentlemen. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we surely would hope that if the same thing happened in this area, that they would do the same for us. But we do want to talk about some of the questions that this event raises, namely some really theological issues that people bring up, especially people who are outside the faith, Nathan. This brings up a lot of questions from them, especially for something that happens inside a church building, a targeted attack in a church building. And so we want to talk about some of the questions that brings up and what the church, Big C Church's response is to that.
First and foremost, I think we have to say that our prayers and our grieving is with the families and the people involved.
Absolutely.
In Texas and Sutherland Springs. It is a horrific event, and it's something that everyone who was sitting in a church on Sunday, you know, it affected them in some way. Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking, and it is something that across the country, whether you're atheist, Buddhist, or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's still heartbreaking, no matter what the situation is there. But it does raise a lot of questions, and a lot of them are theological in nature. And there's some that, admittedly, we can't answer completely. We're going to talk about some topics and some ideas here that we're just not completely equipped to answer.
Are you saying it's okay for us to say I don't know?
Yeah, sometimes? I think in this situation we're going to have to say we don't know everything.
Right.
And I think a lot of times, Pastor, they think, I say they, the worldwide community think we should have all the answers on God and to know everything that He's thinking in this situation. We just don't. But the facts of the matter is that there's been a church shooting, and there's been, 27 people confirmed dead.
Yes.
Along with those are a pregnant woman and her child, a 14-year-old pastor's daughter. This was kids. This was adults. This was a devilish, horrific event. There's no way else to describe it, and it's something that we're saddened to hear, and it's hard to ignore it, Matt. It's something that we have to talk about.
That's right. And I was listening to the press conference yesterday by the pastor, and after losing his own daughter in this event, he gave God the glory on the platform right there, and he said, Christ will be lifted up through this, and God will be lifted up through this. And and we'll reference several articles, I'm sure, tonight. But one thing that I do want the listeners to know is that historically, in these situations, the church rises up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're going to see this happen again. I think the world, and you guys may have something to say about this, it's like I believe the world expects some kind of violent response from us. And so that's a question that we may have to tackle as well, is how do we respond in grace and in love to something where we have been targeted specifically? And I think that that's a question that needs to be brought up tonight. Now, as far as other things to consider about the facts of the event, we're looking at a guy who was an outspoken atheist here.
Right, and that's something that came out yesterday, Pastor, and it's... And I'd like to say it's neither here nor there, but I think that's one thing. The first thing we have to talk about tonight is the atheist ideology here. I think that's something that has to be addressed.
Well, it certainly is. And the basic underlying tenet of one who espouses atheism is that there is no God. And so consequently, your entire worldview, how you live, how you think, how you act, how you react, is based upon that one's premise that they believe there is no God. So if to them, if there is no God, there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no good, there is no evil. It's just basically what is expedient for that person at that time, what is pleasing to them, what is what they perceive to be their will and in their best interest.
Well, you said the key word here. That's the first question on the agenda tonight is, which worldview has a better answer for evil? And I have to say, unequivocally, and maybe it's harsh, but it's just the truth, that if you're an atheist, you may be a quote-unquote moral atheist, but you have no grounds to base that morality that you hold to. There's nothing in your atheism, in science, in anything like that, that teaches you that really this situation should be wrong. But
Nathan, in pure atheism, it can't be evil, because would it not be built along the philosophy of the survival of the fittest?
Yeah, I mean, well, the other key word here is evil. And what is that? And, you know, in articles you see all around the nation every day, not just on this situation, but on just every political agenda or whatever. You know, a lot of people give quotations around the word evil now. So, like, it's not a thing, in other words. And so, there's this idea that we have to talk about of evil. And I don't know how else you would describe an event like this other than that word. So, if you're an atheist, if you're Christian Science, Buddhist, or whatever, and you just don't think evil even exists, then what do you say to this?
You don't. You're not actually existing in reality. I mean, it's certainly evil. The lost man deems it and calls it evil. The president refers to it as evil. Even those, you know, who mock at those of us who would advocate praying for these people who have been so oppressed, even they would say it was evil. And it is evil.
Absolutely. And it's like Albert Mueller said on his program, The Briefing, he wisely said that if you're an atheist, then really all you can say about evil is in an event that you just wish didn't happen. And Pastor, you while we were talking about this, you made the comment, then it's just what my wishes are versus your wishes.
Okay, so we say then that the atheist, the best he can say is, well, I can't call it evil. I wish this hadn't happened. What happened? Oh, well, the killing of these poor innocent people. But that same atheist would advocate for the killing of those poor innocent little unborn babies.
Well, we have to take everything down to the roots, in my opinion, that we have to say, what is killing? Killing's a loaded word. You know, I mean, if they're going to use the term kill, then what's the context? And if you just say, well, you know, I mean, just somebody, you know, shooting someone and them dying, well, you know, what makes that moral or immoral?
Well, because mankind is created in the image of God Almighty. And that is an awesome thought in and of itself. If that is true, and it is, then we do not have the right to take another human life. You know, except in maybe some rare cases of self-defense, mm-hmm. or whatever, or protecting our own families. But we don't have the right to take another man, another woman's life. It's not ours. We didn't give it. We can't create it. Can't make it. It's not our right to take it.
You know, I find it ironic and maybe a bit coincidental that this fellow who calls himself an atheist, who doesn't believe, by definition, an atheist doesn't believe there is an evil, therefore there is no consequence to evil. When he could run no longer, when he could go nowhere any longer, he chose to take his own life.
Mm-hmm.
And that just shows you that at the very defining moments of your life, you are not an atheist.
Mm.
You know, Matt, even just what you said there, to me, is a sad thing. Now, some people may say, well, good riddance, we just hope he burns in hell. That's an awful thing to say right there. And I feel sorry. This is a horrendous, horrendous evil deed this man has done. But this here is extremely evil / troubled soul. Now, I'm a psychologist. I don't pretend to be, Nathan. And what brought this on, I don't know. But I do know this right here. There is evil in the world, and the only answer I know is redemption through Jesus Christ.
Well, in this question, the problem, or I guess the burden, lies, you know, on us to say, you know, why is this happening? And that's what the atheists, you know, they don't really have anything. That burden, that question is not really on them. They put it on us and say, well, why would your God let this happen? And so I think squarely we have to answer it. We have to say, you know, what the Bible teaches on this. But on the question that I posed a minute ago, which worldview, you know, has a better answer for evil, it's clearly Christianity, because atheism doesn't have one at all.
No.
They have none. So at least we have an obvious, intelligent answer to give on this. Although we may not have all the answers, Christianity is the only thing suited to say anything about evil. Because, number one, it's a theological question, Pastor.
Well, it is a theological question, and when we speak about evil, so evidently that we're going to all agree this was evil, the taking of these innocent lives right here. Could we have the discussion with the atheist, the agnostic, the humanist, and say, well, what else would you deem as evil? Because, you know, I'm proposing the statement that they really don't want God to stop all the evil. They say, well, God, why don't you stop? I don't think they want God to stop all of it, you know. In a catastrophe like this that is so heart-rending, oh, they wish that had not happened. But there's a lot of other evil. Are they going to admit to that? Do they want God to stop the adultery? God, do you want God to stop the fornication? And all the other type of aberrant behaviors, the stealing, the lying, the deceit? I don't think they do.
You can't have one without the other.
That's true.
You cannot say for it to stop and not have all of the other stuff stop as well. That's a very good point. And, you know, the next question that is a big one, and something that I don't know that I'm necessarily equipped to give a complete answer for, something that I just, you know, God knows, but I think we can say some things about it. But, I mean, why does evil exist? And is God not strong enough to stop it?
Well, God is strong enough to stop it. And God is going to stop it in His time, in that future day. As to why does evil exist, I think you have to go back to the Bible, that book of special revelation. I think that the gauntlet was dropped in the Garden of Eden. I think God made a very, very simple command, and Adam, so to speak, and Eve raised their fist in the face of God, believed the lie of the serpent. That there may be of something better than God out there. And so I believe God has allowed that to play itself out. And I, for one, I'm wanting the Lord to come. It's played out long enough.
You know, it's hard to say why does evil exist other than what you just cited. Obviously, the fall in the garden, that's why we're dealing with evil today, straight out of the Bible. There's philosophy. And there's, you know, answers for all of that. And just in my opinion, I don't think evil's a thing in the sense of something God created. It's something that, you know, is a lack in our character and thus gave us the potential to sin. And that gets into some heavy philosophy, but it exists, like you said, because of the fall. And the question that you see a lot of people, even on some articles that we sent back and forth, the first thing people are the keyboard warriors are talking about is God not strong enough to stop all this? And it's kind of the same argument. Can God make a rock big enough to where he can't lift it? You know, crazy stuff like that. And it flows all into the same category. But, you know, I like to point out that God can't do some things. He can't sin. He can't lie. He can't cheat. He can't murder in the sense of that moral aspect of it. He can't do a lot of things, Pastor, and thank God he can't sin, and that he is a perfect and a holy God, and that there's no just head, hit the hammer on the head of the nail, answer here, but we know that evil exists, and in that we have to look to God, because I think in atheism as we've talked about a thousand times before on this program, that it just doesn't have an answer for anything while we're here, or evil itself.
Well, God is going to stop the evil in his day and in his timing. So we certainly can rest in that right there. There would be some who said, well, can't God stop it, to the point almost as if to impugn God, as if to say, well, God, then it's your fault because you didn't stop it. No, I'm afraid that will not work. We have made this bed, and we definitely are sleeping in it now.
Yeah, he didn't make robots. He didn't.
Well, Nathan, come on. Let's just be honest. Meaning our secular society, they want nothing to do with God in our educational systems, whether it be higher education or whether it be elementary and secondary education. They want God completely out of the picture. So we don't want God. We don't want God's influence. We don't want the Bible. We don't want this, theological training for our young people. We don't want these moral foundations laid. Oh, my goodness, we absolutely can't have that. We can't have Bible reading. And so what do we expect? What can we expect? We want to ex God out of the schools. We want to ex God out of the military. We want to ex God out of the whole political arena. And then when evil takes place, we want to say, well, why didn't God stop it? Why don't we stop it?
Here's another thing that might open up a can of proverbial worms, but we won't call anything evil anymore. That's one of our biggest problems. We make names up for things. So instead of committing adultery, we say things like having an affair. Instead of calling homosexuality what it is, we characterize people as gay and make that a category for them. We change words around, and we do that so succinctly. And so you think about abortion. What's that called? Planned Parenthood. You take the power out of words, and then you're left with no evil, and everything becomes subjective. And we're arguing about the morality of things. And that's why these arguments exist, is because we've stopped calling them what they are. We've stopped talking about evil.
I find it, I guess personally, I think we should find it offensive that in a time and in an hour where the Christian community largely as a whole suffers from something like this and mourns something like this, that we're mocked right in the midst of it. You don't see that happen with anything else, with another situation, in another faith, or in another, even in another land.
There's a reason for that.
There is a reason for that, and it's right. Right. And they just look at it as an opportunity to kick somebody while they're down. And I'm thankful, number one, gentlemen, I'm thankful that the Christian community does not respond in kind. Right. And that leads me to this question before we get to the next question. How can we use this, Pastor and Nathan, for a gospel opportunity? That's what it's all about. So how do we use this situation, which we will face questions about this, how do we steer this towards the gospel?
Well, Matt, I kind of want to leave that question to last.
Okay.
Let's circle back around with that,
right?
Because I think there's some good closing thoughts here to say about Jesus and his finished work. And that's for the short answer, that's how I would answer it. If that's okay with you guys, we'll just go over this next question very quickly and then move into that, because I think that needs to be addressed, and I planned on it. And so I think what we'll talk about right here before we get into that great point is, what can we say? And it goes right along with it. What can we say about Christian suffering, Pastor? Because there's some that, like I mentioned, Christian Science, which is neither Christian nor science, would say that evil's a you know, that's just a thought in our mind. It doesn't really exist. Or what about this? What about the people who say, well, maybe this was as a result of some type of unexposed sin in these people's lives? And there is a group that would say, whatever sickness or whatever happens to you is a result of sin in your life.
Well, not, it doesn't surprise me a bit that you get some group somewhere that absolutely just, you know, just forget any kind of biblical thinking and try to, you know, lay some kind of burden on people who are already broken. No, it's not a fact of them doing something wrong, that this is some kind of punishment. Can I say this? To a degree, there is a calling for us to suffer. Our Lord suffered, and we should not think it something out of the ordinary when we are called to suffer. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered, and we are to suffer for the cause of Christ when called upon. And it's just part of the Christian experience. Mm. You know, our society and our health, wealth, and prosperity preaching society, that's a kind of an aberrant thought there.
We don't want to talk about that.
Be it that a Christian should ever suffer. If that Christian's right, they're supposed to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's not the Bible.
We know that when Christ came to Paul, he said, you're going to suffer many things. We know in Revelation, where we're talking about future events, and we know that the people who are saved during the tribulation, well, guess what? They go through the tribulation. Right. They are suffered with many things, with all of the things that God unleashes upon this earth whenever he is finally going to judge evil and address all of these things that that the whole creation has groaned about for thousands of years now. And, you know, I have to say here that what we can say about Christian suffering is that it is definitely not a result of someone's sin, and that anyone deserves anything because of something they've believed or anything like that. In 2 Timothy 2:12, it says, "For if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us." Mm-hmm. Great passage of scripture. I think about John 9, where the disciples are passing by the blind man, and they say, "You know, Rabbi, what, you know, was his parents sinning? Or did he sin?" And Jesus rebukes him for even asking the question. No, it's for the grace of God to be shown. The Tower of Siloam fell. Were those people more evil than the people that didn't fall on? No. Yeah, I mean, the Bible addresses this stuff. And like you said, Pastor, we're not immune from suffering.
We're not promising the Bible that God will protect us from any and all suffering. But for the child of God, he will be with us in the midst of that suffering.
It sounds like a calloused way to look at it sometimes from the outside point of view, but we look at the Word of God for our authority, and we are told these things will happen.
Well, this is where it flows into your question, Matt, and this is where we say all things work together for good. And we have to be, I think we have to be careful saying that. We don't want to come across
as a glib answer.
We don't want to say, just punt and say, yeah, all things work together for good. We have to be very sensitive. So I think more than anything in this time, we pray and we grieve with them.
Right.
But theologically, I do have to say, no matter what happens in my life, the most important thing is Christ. To live is what? Is Christ. It's not to live is money or to live is my family, even though my family is a very important goal, but I can lose my wife. Those things happen. You grow old, and one spouse or the other dies. It's life, and to live is not anything else, but to live is to Christ. And that is something that we can hang our hat on. And, you know, I think about Hosea 53, Pastor. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. What more hope do we have than that?
He's a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. Absolutely. You know, I know you're going to wrap up, Nathan, but let me say this here, Matt. You say, where's the gospel? What's the good news? We have hope.
That's right.
Those in that little group there who knew Jesus, they're not dead in the sense of dead. They are bodily dead, yes, they are, but they have not ceased to exist.
They are
with our blessed Lord awaiting us. So there is hope. Praise God for that.
You know, I think about once again, I think about Revelation whenever the martyrs are crying out and saying, when are you going to avenge us? When are you going to avenge our blood? And Jesus says, well, you have to wait for just a little while longer.
That's right.
But it's just a wait.
Yes.
It's not of, I'm not going to deal with it. You've got to wait a little while longer. And we have to hang our hope on the fact that Christ has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. And that's not just our hope. It's the only hope. And it was the people's hope inside that church as they got ready for worship. And I dare say it won't change this Sunday as they gather for worship too. If they do, whenever they resume that, what I'm trying to say is that will still be their hope. It doesn't change in the Christian life. No matter what we go through, it's still Jesus.
That's right.
It's still his imputed righteousness. It's still the cross, and it's still his blood.
Amen.
Nathan, you brought that verse up, to live is Christ, but the second half of that is to die is gain.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, you talk about what they've experienced. They woke up, they closed their eyes in one word and woke up in another one.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about a gaining experience.
Nobody else has that, Matt.
And we
no
sit
other
here this
faith
morning,
has
and
that.
I mean, I've sitting here, I've, you know, my eyes are kind of welling up, and I think about, they sat there worshiping in the sweet hope and assurance of what they have and what they believe, and at a snap of a finger, they experience it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't their fault. They didn't do anything to deserve that. Mm-hmm. God tells us we're going to have our troubles and trials in this life. We don't know what to expect. We don't know when they'll come or what will happen. But we hold to the unchanging.
Absolutely.
That's why we're here. And that's why we can... That's why, Nathan, that's why this worldview is so much better. Because we have a hope. Man, what an anchor to hold on to.
You know, guys, we don't normally do this, but would it be all right tonight? Let's before we close, let's have a prayer for those tonight who
Absolutely.
Are bewildered, who are confused, who are troubled, who are aching, who are hurting. Would it be all right to do that?
Absolutely. Oh, yes, sir.
Our Lord, we come before you tonight. We pray for our brethren there in Texas. God, that your peace, your help, your comfort, your strength would rest upon them. We ask and pray, Father, for those tonight across our nation who are troubled, who are bewildered, dear God, who are so confused. God, that clarity would come to their mind, that they'll understand that, yes, we are living in an evil day, and the world is evil, but there is hope in Christ, there's forgiveness in Christ, and there's a wonderful future in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We dedicate this podcast to those that lost their lives in Texas this week, and our prayers and thoughts go with them. We thank you for listening this week, and thank you for sticking with us. And knowing as we proclaim this hope that we have, that we will still do that. And we'll be outside the box, but we are definitely inside the Word this week. Thank you for listening.